It's a literal shocker. Two in the goo, one in the poo.
I'd like to think that I'd be able to do it, but I couldn't even have Tommy put that tampon in my ass.
You're listening to the Snoozy Podcast.
Shannon.
I don't have to ask for oral or anal because those are my only options.
Do I have to do anything gay besides getting fucking nasty?
Do you mean professional whore voice? Because that's what that is.
I'm semi-pro. Okay.
I mean, you're married, so that's like interning.
I'm like
that's
a recent. JV ho.
Well, actually, I think marriage, like keeping the spark up is harder than, you know, just walking. After a man pays hundreds of dollars for you to be a sex goddess, he's willing to do most of the work to make you a sex goddess. You just have to like not fart on his face or declare yourself a racist.
Well, that's always
and
the
go
hard
with
part,
you.
Caitlin. I don't know what kind of experience you've had, but that's
not farting,
said than
that's
done.
The worst. I went through a phase when I was working, I only worked for like 18 months, but I went through a phase where I was waxing my legs, which meant that I had to go all natural for like 3 weeks. And like, no one gave a fuck that no,
they really don't.
They really don't care.
Those are just, that's like the pathway to the store that you're looking to shop at. It's kind of like, I don't care what the walkway up to Target looks like. I care about what's going on inside. But so now that you've brought that up, let's acknowledge you had a brief stint as a...
Sure. I worked for about 18 months as a professional call girl escort.
Okay, because that's the key. That's why I didn't want to say anything, because
whore.
You can tell everything that you need to know about what brand of that it is by the labels
sure.
that you're going to use.
Yeah.
So you were a call girl escort.
Yes.
Which
people
is the kind
me.
They make movies about. So that's fantastic.
Well, yeah. Yeah, there are a couple of HBO movies about streetwalkers. And I've done other kinds of sex work as well. I've worked as a courtesan and I've worked as a waitress, which I think is a form of sex work. And I was engaged once, which felt an awful lot like sex. You know, I've done it all, guys.
You've run the gamut.
Yeah. Run the gamut, yeah. And I've also, like, fucked dudes that I met at bars in their car for free. So it's not like I'm above a streetwalker.
Well,
I'm just, you know, like,
that's my
it's
bottom
all
line
shades
with
of
the
gray.
Whole thing is, with all the sexual experiences I've had, 90% of them, I walk away feeling like, for all the aggravation and work I had to put in to have this happen and get nothing in return, I really should have been charging for it.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I have a new standard. Make me come or pay me.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'd be broke.
Say that.
I'd be
like,
done. I'd be
right,
broke.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to actually.
Better work hard.
That's one thing I wanted to talk about, because there's someone at work, a female that I work with, who's been around a little
female,
bit.
Female, what species?
Female?
Let's get more specific.
I feel the same
a
way
female
about
human,
that term.
A female
okay.
human.
Okay. All right.
A lass.
A girl.
A lady.
A woman.
A lady.
A lady.
With her girl bits all in her face.
She's been around.
How do you know she's a female? Have you seen her butt?
I inspected.
How did you tell? You inspected?
I did.
Yeah? You did a little? Okay.
I hired her, so that was part of the interview.
Your zoology class?
That was part of the interview.
He's got one of those cards they sell at Spencer's.
The tit inspector
yeah.
or butt
yeah so
something.
FBI full
when
body
he,
inspector
when he pulls one of those Jesus. Out it's just like you get flashes of like Mulder and Scully and
but
I'm
she
like,
really wanted the job so she did
yeah.
it
yeah
but in talking to her who's you know had her fair share of experience and it seemed like disappointment so I was asking her of all the and I asked Shannon this I think last week just hanging out of all the men she's been with she said like two have gotten her off.
It's frustrating.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's absolutely a thing. The orgasm deficit, I think, is a more of a problem than the wage gap, frankly. I really do. And
I'd take $5 less an hour if that was the trade-off.
Part of it is biology. Part of it is culture. You know, like a cultural disinterest in the female orgasm or pretending that it's like this elusive mythological creature or like a math problem that no one knows how to solve.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't know the things that we should know about female pleasure, generally speaking, whether from the anatomy of the clitoris to like things that make sex hot for girls. But because there's a lot of money in exploiting and finessing and fine tuning and exaggerating what makes sex hot for dudes. And that's what the porn industry is, but we're wired differently. But I would say that like fine, good dick is to women what pussy is to men. Like it's just as hard for us to find and lock down good dick as it is for you guys to get. But we can get dick, but you know, first, like, I've heard whatever.
But either way, if you're going to make the equation, it's basically, like, that other genital that can make you come.
Right.
Because, and not any dick can make you come.
And not, and
who, yes. who it's attached to and how they're exactly. using it. But it's, like, pretty much any guy is going to fuck something, yeah. and almost every guy is going to come. But it's not the same, so therefore, it's, mm-hmm. like, you have to separate the good dick from the bad dick.
Yeah, separating the good dick from the bad dick is hard. And it's, and like a part of it, you know, you, the courtship process has, there's no relationship to me between the courtship process and whether or not a dude makes me come. Like a guy that I locked eyes with in an Amsterdam dance room and like let fuck me up against a bathroom wall made me come harder than the dude that like bought me 8 dinners and like whipped out a map of the female clitoris that he'd been studying in his tantric seminar
exactly.
and like applied his skill set onto my body. Right. I mean, like it's, I don't know what the metrics are, but because they're real weird. And that's why I think women are witches. Cause it's like our bodies just are you weird.
This milk is sour.
You must go in then most times. Like, and the pre-hookup is exciting and what's
going on. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you're going in knowing I'm probably going to be let down by this.
Maybe. I think that one thing that I found as I get older is the waiting game. You shouldn't wait to have sex because he'll think less of you or you're not the marrying kind or blah, 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 blah. I'm just saying that you're never getting more foreplay than you're getting that first fucking night, so mm-hmm. milk it.
Right.
Yeah. This is the big show. You know, that's, mm-hmm. it's like they save it all up. Every relationship I've been in, it's basically like opium, where then it's like the first time's going to be amazing. And then you're just going to spend the next 9 months
chasing
the dragon.
Fucking dick.
Who's
I know.
Just going to eventually, you know, leave with your cat and half of your record collection.
I swear to God, I found myself, I texted a dude who is an alcoholic that I'd been fucking and he made me come like twice, and which meant like, I hate myself and the things I'm willing to do to chase that dragon. And so like he fingered me on a filthy bat. It doesn't matter. But like he'd had a problem.
We've all been there, girl.
He had a problem with coke and alcohol induced erectile dysfunction. And his apartment is viscerally disgusting. So like the second
he
I
sounds
come,
like just my type.
Right? Exactly. I know. So the second I come, I'm like, I'm surrounded by rotting food and like an entire ecosystem of fucking, oh, are those crumbs? I can't. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. So if I'm not going to come, I don't want to go. Right? So this guy invites me over. It's like 4:00 in the morning. I'm like, did you clean your room? Can you get your dick hard?
You should trademark that. If I ain't coming, I ain't going.
Right. If I can't come, I'm not going. So yeah. So basically, that's not bad. I'm going to tweet that. But yeah, so I was like, can you get your dick hard and did you clean your room? And he was like, yes, I clean my room and yes, I can get my dick hard.
You sound
and
like the most awesome stepmom ever. Blah, blah,
blah. Right? Yeah. That's a porn. And I'm only fucking you if you cleaned your room. Why? Because it's disgusting and I can't come on your filthy sheets.
But you sound almost like a guy, like after we masturbate, the shame kicks in like, fuck, why did I do that? Why that wasn't a good idea.
Well, yeah, but I also have like shame-inducing sex. Like that's one of the components of things that I need to reach orgasm right now. And it can be circumstantial or it can be verbal or it can be,
well, you're talking to the right girl over here.
Oh yeah. No, I'm all shame.
She's all about, Shannon's all about like the more wrong it is, the better.
Oh yeah.
In every possible way. Yeah. I would guess.
Oh, no, for sure. If there's something seedy and
yes.
devious about it, it's just like, oh, that's why when you were giving me examples, I'm like, no, the guy at the club in Amsterdam, back, mm-hmm. you know, behind a dumpster or wherever, that's exactly where you come.
Yes.
To me.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like those moments of a guy like putting rose petals down and like taking this sweet like berry white tour of your body.
Right?
This is not a wonderland. This is like an abandoned amusement park. If you could just get right to it.
I wish I could make cricket noises with my mouth. That's what I want to do.
I'll throw them in there.
Like, I'll give you an example. I've been given flowers a couple of times in my life as the recipient of a romantic thing. And it's never been positive. First time I was in college and I met this dude for dinner and he brought a single rose with him. And it wouldn't fit my purse.
Please tell me it was in his teeth.
No. That's fantastic. No. He, it's ridiculous. It wouldn't fit in my purse, and I didn't want to put it on the floor because I thought that would be rude. So over the course of dinner, I knocked over both of our wine glasses with it because I just kept gesticulating with this rose, okay?
I don't know what to do with
my rose. I don't know what to do with this rose. Second time, boyfriend of about 6 months met me at the train station with flowers because I live in a movie. And then I immediately accidentally crushed them by putting my suitcase over my shoulder. So it was just like a...
An omen.
Yeah, he manages my money now because he's a responsible person, and I know that because I dated him for a year and failed at
you're doing making this him all feel right. things.
But you appreciated the gesture, though.
I definitely appreciated the gesture, but I also was like, I don't own a vase. I live in a room with a twin bed and another person who also sleeps. Where did you think these were gonna go? Like. And then that was the third time. It was an abusive relationship, and he brought me flowers. So now I'm done with flowers. That's like the thing I say early on is, like, don't buy me flowers because it'll trigger my PT. I just pretend that it'll be, like, a trauma-inducing thing. And then if they decide to
disobey and do it anyway, I really hope you go full bore.
I go full-blown, fake PTSD attack. Numb. Right, yeah, exactly. I'm screaming and shaking in the corner, just, like, sweating anxiety, shitting myself. It gets real weird real fast.
Yeah, no, you got to commit.
Right, that's my emotional version of, like, I'm allergic to mushrooms.
So then how does a guy win? I mean, how does a guy win
can't. That's the thing is that I think that we should stop thinking of women's bodies as something that we conquer, and yes. We should start thinking of, like, partnership as, like, a thing that happens or it doesn't. Like, there's no winning a woman that doesn't want you.
I guess to phrase it better is, like, what do we do to properly stimulate you in both ways?
Be yourself and find someone that likes you.
Right.
Exactly.
But who's going to do that? I mean, shit.
I know. Was just going to say, though, because you could be the best that you could be, and it's still only going to work on a certain percentage of women. You know, you're not going to be everybody's chemistry and everyone's vibe and everyone's cup of tea and vice versa.
Yeah, as a professional sex worker, even with dudes, there's no, like, one right way to jack off a dude. And they're dudes.
I didn't know there was one. Already there's so much you could teach
there's
me.
So much, yeah. Got a lot of techniques.
Now, I got to ask, how did you get into that? How did that start?
I wanted to, and it was that simple. I fantasized about it for years. It was a thing that turned me on. It was like a part of the erotica that I was reading when I was, like, first learning to masturbate. I talked about it in my head at the time.
What were you reading? Like a Nias Nin?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's Little how birds. I started to masturbate.
Boom.
I started to masturbate. I'd go hide in a tent with the Nias Nin collection, and I would just masturbate until this
All
tent,
day.
You couldn't breathe in it. It just smelled like pussy and tears and sweat.
So much crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That was just discovering ourselves. So that's beautiful to know. As soon as you said that, I was like, I feel like now.
Of course it was an Einstein.
Of course
I actually wrote one of my college theses on her or whatever, which is just, it would be like the equivalent of a dude writing his thesis on Baywatch. Like, it was just like, this is, like, what I learned to masturbate to. And I'm, like, super.
I think that might be, I'm just, as if there were, this was, were a mini experiment. The few women that I've run into that basically learned to masturbate on Nias Nin have this whole other view of sex and openness and intimacy that women who are raised on regular pornography do not have.
Yes.
So I'm seeing that immediately.
So, like, the thing, so I grew up on that, and I wanted to do that, and I wanted to get good at whatever that was. And then I volunteered to do nude modeling. At this, there was, like, a poster that was like, "Do you want to be a nude model?" I was like, "Yes, I do."
For, like, artists or photography?
That's what I thought. I don't know. I saw a poster when I was 17. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I called and I was like, "I'm 17," and they were like, "No go." But we met for coffee because who doesn't want to meet with a 17-year-old who wants to take her clothes off? Right, right. That's fantastic.
Flaz's wheelhouse.
And I'd been talking and fantasizing about this idea that I had about becoming a professional whore. Now, in my head, I believed that in order to be good at prostitution, I would have to, like, get a college degree and move to New York or LA. I thought it was, like, breaking into acting. That it was, there was going to be this, like, climbing to the top process. I don't know where I got these ideas from. It was just something I really believed based on
evidence.
This isn't
Juilliard.
Right, yeah, exactly. I thought there was a Juilliard of whoring. That's a real thing that I believed about the world. And so I was telling this guy about my fantasy because, and I still do this to this day. People are like, how'd you get into comedy? How'd you get into theater? How'd you do this? I just talk about it endlessly with every single person I meet. And then eventually I meet someone who can help me.
Yeah.
So it was the same with whoring. This guy was like, you don't need a degree to get into prostitution. That's kind of like the
whole
thing.
You're pre-qualified.
Right. Yeah. And B, you can be a high class whore right here in North Carolina. We have like, this is Raleigh. This isn't like the middle of nowhere.
Matter of fact, you'd be the only high class whore here in North Carolina.
So he told me about these messaging boards and these websites. And then I Googled them and it was like, really that simple.
So you didn't start at 17, though.
Yeah, I started at 17.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. But I was like, this person still, though. You know what I
mean? No,
like, what does that mean? I tutor 16, 17-year-olds.
To be whores?
No, on like the SAT for money.
She started the Juilliard.
I did. I started the Juilliard of whoring, damn it.
She filled it.
Juilliard.
That used to exist in like Venice and shit. You could like send your daughter to, like, instead of the nunnery, if she was like a precocious cunt.
Geisha school.
Absolutely.
In Japan. Yeah.
Absolutely, you should do that. Yeah, what are you going to do? Send her out on the street? Let her figure it out? She's going
to
end up dead.
I've been to school with so many girls where it's like, BOCES is really not the answer. If there were only a good old little whore house
I had
you could
hooker,
send them to for
right.
some good old fashioned
I got
spring.
I got
teach
a woman,
them the skills they're going to need to.
I got a woman off Backpage in Canada, mm-hmm. and she was it was so bad. I shouldn't have gone through with it, but whatever. It was there, and I just did it.
Yeah.
A total mess. And then afterwards, when we're kind of just talking, she was mentioning how she's like mentoring younger girls, and she said, well, I could have just brought one of them over. I didn't come down on her in any way, but she's like, I could have. I said, well, thanks for telling me now. She was sort of mentoring a handful because she wanted to show them the ins and outs of for safety reasons.
Absolutely.
No pun intended.
And the safety part of it, I don't care how bad she is at giving head. Like, there are some basic safety things that you learn early on, no matter how stupid you are. So, like, that was one of the things that happened to me early is I learned about reference checking by reading the FAQ section of these message boards, actually, that they, you know, they had an FAQ because, of course, they did.
Any reputable site does.
Absolutely. And then I would call these other women to do reference checking, and I refused to see new clients or clients who hadn't seen other local girls. So, like, I couldn't be your first whore. You had to go to another whore first. And that went well. And in doing that, you know, I'd call and they'd be like, oh, you're new to the scene. I haven't heard from you before. And I'd be like, yeah, I just started. And they'd be like, let's get coffee or like chat a bit. And they would always give really good, really practical, really non-judgmental advice about everything ranging from how to work on your period to what to do if a guy makes you uncomfortable in the room to how to like manage your safety or like how to deal with like just the wide variety of things that there's no one else in my life I can talk to about this shit.
How do you work on your period?
A couple of solutions. The first one that was introduced to me was the Diva Cup, which is like a diaphragm but reverse.
About that.
Right. That is good unless it's not. If you have a more acrobatic client and it gets knocked out of place, it's like a ton of blood all at once, which is
it's
the
like
opposite of what you
the
want.
The elevator doors.
Right, yeah. Oh, it's the worst. Now, the solution that I liked the best that also had the most danger, I guess, associated to it was a round makeup sponge that I'd run under cold water, roll up
a million of those,
roll
Tell
up like a tampon, and then shove it up there, and it feels, the texture of that sponge feels just like the vaginal wall. Now, you have to change it regularly, or you will end up squeegeeing out a big mess because of the way that sponges work. And then...
So you change it about, like, you know, how often you'd clean out the lint trap on a dryer. Every few loads.
Every few loads, exactly. And I've gotten it stuck twice on a light day and had to have it removed by a gynecologist.
Oh.
Two things. Jeez. The smell is awful, and they always have so many follow-up questions.
I've been in the same situation in ER, not with a makeup sponge, but... I had a tampon in, and I had forgotten it because it was one of those discreet ones where the, like, strings inside it till you pull it out, and I didn't realize that because I was young and dumb.
Yeah, no, of course.
And
we're just shoving shit
I just
up,
shoved it up there.
Very little supervision.
And it was
no
like,
one wants to ask any follow-up questions of a 12-year-old,
right?
And we should be asked questions about the things and what and how we are shoving things into our vagina.
What's in your pussy and how long has it been
there? In there. Yeah.
That's all I need to do.
Yes. What's in your pussy? How long has it been in there? Do you know about changing it every 4 hours?
I'm leaving that to
you
my wife.
Die.
I'm not even going into that with my daughter.
13 Ugh. Times oh. with this thing in
oh
me.
Oh, my God.
Over a weekend. And then by Monday, I'm in school.
How many guys? 12?
It's in there. Just the one. Just the
oh,
one.
Fair enough.
One very...
It was a slow weekend for
I did,
you.
I did that with contacts the first time. The first time I ever got contacts, I just like, no, the contact solution. I just kept taking my contacts out and putting them in the same solution. I wasn't cleaning it out. I was just refilling the solution. It was like solution.
Bathing your kid in the same bathtub yes! of water for the first year.
Yeah, I got an eye infection and my parents are like, what happened? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And then as soon as the doctor was like, how often are you changing your contact solution? I was like, oh, not ever, actually. I see how this happened.
God. So I have the same concern the times that I've had an escort where I'm scared for my safety. I'm very neurotic and cowardice. So, you know, there are the same sort of, you know, fact-checking things on other sites. Like, is it the girl in the picture? You know, sure. How was the experience?
Yeah, reviews. And I think reviews are helpful. And like there's it's a mixed bag because dudes are dumb. And
I just expect to get rolled. Like, if I'm in, like, in Atlantic City, for example, where they actually come up to you on the street or on the boardwalk.
It's like comedy clubs in that way.
They just want to bark you in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so there's Times Square, and then also there's the Cellar. And smart people go to the Cellar, and dumb people go right. to LOL and but Times Square, which I work at regularly, by the way. It's one of the only clubs in New York that pays me on the reg, and I can't stop talking shit about them anyway. It's terrible. They're putting my picture up.
Like
I feel very flattered.
It's like how you keep the power in any relationship. You right. just got to keep beating it down so it yeah. thinks you're more important.
Yeah. I have had killer sets there, but usually it's a mixed bag.
People expected Louis C.K. that night, though, right? They're notorious for that. They've changed,
no.
I guess.
Actually, LOL doesn't lie to tourists, but tourists are also just super dumb and bad comedy audiences. Like it's in the book, isn't it? I don't know, it's just got a new booker. I don't know, we'll figure it out. Come to LOL, I guess, if you want. Yeah. But if you're in New York to see comedy, go to a good
by the way this place. Is Caitlin Bailey, we haven't even said
oh
yet.
Oh my
so,
god,
by the way, yeah. Hi, welcome to the Loose News podcast.
Yeah, just right out the gate we were just yeah so
came
I'm Shannon
hot.
Cook, this is Ian Lazarus, and with us this week is Caitlin Bailey.
I guess I should start talking now. That would be the etiquette of podcasts on a basic level, to wait until you're fucking introduced.
It was it was so good we couldn't even wait. But you know what? It makes it that much more exciting. People are like, who is she? Who is this girl?
Oh, speaking of which, since we're doing plugs, please come see my one-woman show, Contagious, in this year's New York Fringe and United Solo Festival.
You've got to get out there for that.
Absolutely.
Tickets are on sale now. There are only 200 tickets for sale.
When is this starting and total. When is it running?
New York Fringe is August 12th through the 28th. Mm-hmm. And then United Solo starts sometime in September and ends sometime in November. But the way that their ticketing works is my show is October 6th. And as soon as I sell that out, they will give me another date sometime in that time frame.
Gotcha.
But road I trip. Haven't done that yet, road so trip. I don't know when my next date is.
We went from talking about plugging up cunts to actual plugs. What a segue. That's how we do it. That's how we do it.
You're so proud of yourself. I want to smack that shitty grin
Thank
on your
you.
Face.
She normally does it.
He'd pay extra.
Neither of you can afford me.
We're comedians. Of course we can't.
Shitty upstate ones, too. Yeah,
we're
fucked.
The worst kind.
It's a delight. I'll put your podcast on my website because I plugged Contagious. That's how that works now.
Nice.
Fantastic. So
just send it to me. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Well, I smell
you
a road trip.
You might get four more followers.
Wow. Nice.
Amazing. Please we need yeah. every four. That's going to be like
that
three
quadruples.
More than we
oh,
already
Jesus.
Have.
I'm missing out on some quality D for... eight people.
What's your Twitter handle?
It's at Caitlin. I'm so glad you asked. It's at Caitlin Bailey, KAYTLIN, because my parents spelled my first name wrong.
She's not a basic bitch. That's what that says.
No, that's a weird compromise. And then Bailey, BAILEY. My father wanted a traditional Irish name, and my mom is a hippie artist weirdo, and so this was the compromise.
So I guess, is Caitlin supposed to be with a C? Is that what you're
the
saying?
The way that it's supposed to be spelled, if... the most people is the supposed to way. It's C-A-I-T-L-I-N.
Yours is better.
Thank you.
Way better. Way better.
Yeah. Fuck and, a C, really.
And I also have a traditional Irish father and like a wild gypsy
yes.
mother.
Yes.
So
it's a weird combo.
I feel you on that.
Right.
Yeah, that's how you end up with a Nias Nin in your house.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
that's
how that
the
happens.
Shannon's talked about like she was scissoring at age 7.
I swear to God. No, I was humping banisters.
See,
and my dad was telling my mother that is what simulating sex
well,
was.
Well, my daughter, I have a 6-year-old daughter who is... I think doing that.
Yeah.
And it's a problem. Well, not a problem, but it's, I don't know what to do.
Well, I'll tell you about the conversation I overheard when I was about that age.
Perfect.
I was listening to my parents argue a fight that they would have many times in my future where my dad was
still
like,
probably.
Oh, still, yeah. Where my dad is like, your daughter's doing some sex stuff. And my mom's like, yeah, she's a person. People do that. So like, my dad is like, your daughter's humping the banister. And mom's like, what? Why is that a problem?
This is the difference between the Irish drinking and the gypsies having tambourines.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And my dad's like, it feels like sex. And my mom's like, that's what masturbation
only
is.
If she does it on you.
Right. And my dad was like, I don't want her masturbating. And mom was like, that's not like a thing we
feed
can
her
make
Kellogg's
happen.
Cornflakes. That's what they're there for.
My wife calls it private time. She'll send her maybe like somewhere off to herself. My wife's pretty cool with it. Not that I'm not cool with it. I just don't know what to do with it. I want to just distance my son will, of course, have his hand on his pants.
I would start with like not masturbating to it. And I think that so long as you do that,
if I stop now, does that count?
You know, it depends on how many years of expensive regressive hypnotherapy she really wants to go through. She could probably block most of it out by this point.
Either way, it's fine.
Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite, though, because I have a son and a daughter, and I want to treat them both the same way in that regard.
Well, your son is probably also masturbating to everything.
Yeah, I'm sure. He's only 8, but I don't want to, like, high-five
him. Well, you heard about Louis C.K. and the 3 terrible years of being able to get an erection and not being able to come.
Right.
So I don't know when that's going to happen for your son, but just know that he's rubbing his tiny child dick on everything in your house.
I know. I see it sometimes. And it's going over my dick footprint.
Let's get drunk. And it's let's get drunk.
Yeah, we only have a short time. Let's maximize.
I like your style.
So
thank you.
In summary, there's tiny boy dick prints.
Tiny boy dick all over your house.
All over my house.
There's the name of the episode.
Tiny
boy dick.
All over my house.
Oh, boy.
Which was also my entire dating life.
Right? I do remember like the first week that I was in college, I had a dude come over to study or watch a movie or make friends or something.
Make friends.
And he thought, I don't know, you're in college for a week. You don't have parents, you know, someone's like, do you want to hang out? You're like, yes, and?
Funny you say that because that's exactly how long I was in college.
A week? That's great. Why did you drop out? Did you get pregnant?
Yes.
She already had a kid by then, didn't you?
No, I got pregnant.
Wow. And then you were like, well, clearly quitting school is the best next thing.
Yeah.
There's so many layers of life ruining in your family,
the
too.
I
love it.
I'm all for it, but I'm like, I'm personally a Buddhist. Like, even if I hate them, I can't smush spiders on the wall. So it's one of those things I'm totally like.
I thought you meant all for college.
Oh, I meant abortion.
Oh, fine. Yeah.
So if you had mice, you
wouldn't
kill them.
Say it with me. Are you ready? come on. We can do this together. Abortion. There you go. All right, you want to hold my hand? We're going to do this again.
I mean, you're cool with it for others.
Well,
it's a thing that
now.
Exists in the world. All right.
But
abortion.
Abortion. But now it's murder.
Now he's alive. Together. He's here now.
Yeah, that's fine. How many times have you wanted to kill your kid?
Every day.
Every day. Yeah,
I know, right? Every day. I'm like, if I had a time machine, I know exactly where I'd go.
No, I had an abortion when I was 20. I had an abortion when I was 22, and I just killed a mouse.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Oh my God, it was a nightmare. I got knocked up by my employee, who was a guy that I thought was gay.
Always employer, Caitlin.
For the first 3 weeks. I know. I got to fuck up, but not down. That's the lesson. I also prefer fucking open micers that I'm pretty confident aren't going to make it, because like I'm just trying to mitigate the number of people I fucked at a Comedy Central party. So if I fucking you, it's probably not a compliment. So anyway, I was fucking my sister. We shared a bed for like 6 weeks in Indiana because we were running campaigns, and campaigns are crazy. So we were working like 18, 20-hour days. And then we were sharing a bed, and he would... And we did that for 3 weeks with me thinking that he was gay. And then one day, after a like campaign day where it was just like intense and all the things, we fucking fell into bed together, and the same, because we were sharing a bed.
We
were sleeping on an air mattress next to a pool of standing water in an unfinished basement in like Terre Haute, Indiana.
How do you find yourself in these places?
I was working. Campaigns are crazy. I found myself in similar positions doing comedy. It's all nuts. I'm just super susceptible to cults. That's what it is. So like, so we're so we were fucking, and I, you know, I'm like, are you gay? He was like, no, I'm bisexual.
While you're fucking,
not
you said
anymore.
That.
And like immediately afterwards, like his cum was still drying on my thigh, and I was like, aren't you? I thought you were gay. I mean, I get that this just happened. I'm fine with you being gay, and then also this happening. He's
side
like,
note,
no.
You see why my tactic would work?
We've talked. Well, yes.
What is
I
your
always,
tactic?
I always tell. He's like, oh, if I was gonna try and get laid, how would you help me? I'm like, I would pretend that you were gay and talk to other girls about you as if you were gay.
Yeah,
and. Contemplating
and
trying
you could
it,
pull
out.
It off
easily.
Yeah,
you should have known him when he had the hoop earrings.
Oh Jesus, easily. The fuck Christ!
Easily.
Oh,
well,
God.
You bring up a memory of mine. I may have talked about this where back when I was like 19, I was hooking up with a girl who we talked a lot and mm-hmm. never. It finally came to fruition. Back of a car, hand on her tit over the shirt, I think, maybe under, and she asked me, "Hey, are you bisexual?" And I was like. Why the fuck are you asking me that right this second? That's bizarre.
Because, you know, like, there's just something about you.
That's
know?
What I guess it was.
Yeah.
And I
still.
Clearly. Clearly. I asked her years later. I think she'd been with so many sort of, like, frat boy douchebags that I was tender. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that equates to some sort of.
You're like a milk-fed veal of a man. Which is what I love and loathe about you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, okay, anyway. So you didn't have the abortion, so you have this kid. How old
this
is this kid?
Oh, he's a teenager now.
Oh, 14? Jesus.
He's 14.
Oh,
her whole life is thoroughly over.
That's what happens when you get knocked up as a teenager, because then it's like, oh, well, now I'm, like, still trying to pretend to be one, and I've got this thing giving me away.
Whatever, you look young.
Well, thank you.
I could buy you at 22 if, like...
Wow.
In the right lighting
in the right
with
lighting.
Enough drinks.
Yeah, in the right lighting, you'd be like, you're like a 22-year-old. Thanks. Probably like president of like the chess club, but like still 22.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Hermione Granger style.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's cool. All right, so he's 14 and probably like a monster person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just the worst.
Just, I'm sure, yeah.
It's a nightmare, right?
Yeah, you hate your children because you know everything about them and we're disgusting as people.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that keeps you from really hating them is knowing that you're just as gross.
Exactly. No, his whole wall next to his bed, we got it in a matte finish. It's now full-on eggshell. Because... this kid, just as soon as like anything came out of it, has just been wiping his jizz on the wall next to his bed. So you walk into his room and it's these matte green walls, except for this one big section right next to his bed that's clearly like semi-dried
cum.
Yeah.
He needs a father figure to teach him.
I told him flat out. I was like, you come in a sock like a civilized person.
Yeah. Or in the toilet or in a piece of, or just wash the walls.
Or in a woman.
Yeah.
Well, not at 14, I mean.
Don't let him come in women.
No.
What happened to you?
What do you mean, what happened to me?
Well, Shannon. Like, you come in too many women. He might. You'll be raising that kid.
Fuck no. Not again. Not today, Satan. But so, anyway, good question. So, throughout your time as a call girl, what did you do for protection? Was it all.
That's my Airbnb guest. Everyone say, hey, Airbnb guest.
Hey.
Sweet. So what I did for protection.
Plug
when
that
I
too. If you
want to
stay
escort,
at Caitlin Bailey's place,
you can do that. Actually,
find her
that's
on
like
Airbnb.
A real thing that can happen.
Yeah.
All
this and more.
It's gonna be. It's all a delight. sweet. So to answer your direct question, what did I use as protection as a professional call girl as my Airbnb guests are walking?
You better
in?
Charge them double.
No, they're fine. They're fantastic. Everything was very. The expectation. Is for protection. So like you're a professional, you're using a fake name. It's like,
can we know your fake name or is that too sensitive information?
It's,
can we know part of it?
They're like reviews.
Oh,
and
shit.
There's like messaging shit that I can't control.
Okay,
I don't want
gotcha.
People knowing what my 17-year-old vagina felt like in graphic detail. You know what I mean? Like,
can I get the private information off air so that I can find out what your 17-year-old vagina felt like? Because I'm
let
very
you
curious.
Finger me. How about that?
That's amazing.
Great. So anyway, everything was protected. So it was all like all condoms.
Even cunnilingus?
Yes.
Really?
Like a dental dam kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah,
or fruit
absolutely.
Roll-ups, whatever you can get your
yeah.
hands on.
Yeah. Yeah, dental dams. Condoms for blowjobs. I would let people come on my tits.
Like, that's fair.
Right.
Yeah.
Stuff
that's
like fair. That.
What
right.
else do you need?
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
A couple of times I've had like blowjobs with condoms, I felt bad for myself and the girl. I was like, nobody wants to be doing this right now.
It's not great, but it helps with both of us. They don't want to give their wife herpes, and I don't want to deal with whatever that is. So, like, it's the only time that I've ever gotten any kind of, like, I don't want to wear a condom when you want me to wear a condom pushback is in bed with a dude that thought that we were, like, dating.
Okay, so that's, like, a relationship thing
as it's opposed a relationship to, problem or like, one-night stands. I definitely had one-night stands. One of my favorite moments ever was, like, when I was 19. So I'd been escorting, but I was, like, still young, so I was surrounded by a bunch of other young people that had, like, young people conversations. And this dude was like, I don't want to wear a condom. And I said, okay, what's my name? And he had no idea. And I knew that he had no idea.
Wow.
And it was fantastic. And I was like, put a condom on, you monster.
So have you ever had sex without condoms?
Yes. Okay. I had an abortion at 22. Oh,
yeah, but sometimes they're defective.
No, that's not what happened.
Okay. So it's not like...
No, biology is powerful for women too. Like, because in that moment, if I'm in a, like, aroused enough state, like, I want you coming in my body also.
Of course. Everybody wants that, ultimately.
Yeah. It's
fantastic. Why are you looking at me?
I don't know.
You had the baby.
You had the fucking baby.
Yeah.
And then I got an IUD. Can't stop, won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Taking more loads than a dump truck.
How did your body change after the baby? Did your body change after the baby?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what?
I'm just ruined as a person.
Oh, come on. No, but, like, about sex stuff. Like... did it become easier to come, harder to come, different to come? Did your clit move?
That, I don't know. That's not a thing, obviously. That's right a joke, right?
No, it's not.
Wait,
a
the joke. Clit can move.
Yeah. Well, because the clit is not, it's not the just pressure. That dumb dot that hangs out of the tip of your labia, okay? It's actually the size of the human hand, and it like reaches it around the body and has holy like a shit. Hold it's on a mini the entire
dick.
Pelvic.
You have yes. The vestigial prostate.
The size
prostate,
of your dick is the that's size your of the clit.
The G-spot well,
is part of the clitoris.
Get out of here.
That's the bulb of the clitoris, which is the prostate in a man.
No wonder we can't please women.
The women are talking.
Sorry,
so fucking relax. Yeah, exactly. This is why we can't fucking please women. Do you know how much information that I have about a fucking penis because of years of locking myself in a bedroom with a bunch of other virgins, poring over issues of Cosmo magazine, strategizing how to make
why
sex
not play
sexier
with his balls?
For men. Yeah, of course. That's fantastic. Nobody is talking about how to bring women orgasms. It's all about how to get women into bed and then end of story.
And then high
dudes.
Five your friends afterwards.
Right. Whereas like women are like how to make the experience in bed so mind blowing he marries you, which is also not how that
which
works.
Which clearly it could. 6 months, Caitlin.
You've
months.
Been married for 6 months?
No.
You've been engaged for 6 months?
I got the ring. He proposed unofficially 2 weeks later and then officially 6 months
you
later.
You should not marry a man that you've only known for 6 months. That is not a thing.
I knew
you
him longer
do.
Than that, but not
okay,
by
8
much.
Months.
Yeah. But no, the pussy's too good.
Is the sex really, really, really good?
Yeah.
Then don't marry him. Are you?
And we're back.
That's a recipe. Are you kidding me? You can't marry a man that makes you feel that way. He's never
out.
Doing laundry.
He does. He's an angel. He is an earth
he's
angel.
He's way too good for her.
He's way too good. He's a precious
prediction.
Being.
He starts hitting you in 6 months. I'm a cynic.
God,
I'm like
I wish.
You deserve it.
Oh, my God.
He should have hit you 6 months ago.
Do you know how much I would love it? I beg him. I'm like, can you just choke me? He's like
no,
I love
I
and
can't.
Respect you.
I
I'm like, would you shut the fuck up with
person.
That?
I want to make eye contact the whole time.
Please ew. Stop. Can you
ew.
Please? Can you please just disparage me and strike me viciously?
Gross.
Not going to happen.
Hard to find good help these days.
Yeah, nothing that... makes me drier than respectful discourse is equals.
Right? That's my problem. So my father nailed it right on the head when he saw the ring after that short amount of time and he goes, you must have knocked that boy's dick loose. And I was like, yes, sir. Are you proud now, Dad?
Are you proud now? You must have knocked that
he was just glad
loose.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, no. My father's like, you'll never find another sucker like that.
You're greasy.
I'm very greasy.
You're greasy.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
He's smarmy.
I'd have to take
right
one look
places.
At you and be like, what street gang are you in? And you'd be like, the yeah. Peppermint
and then he's just
going to
start, he's just going to start snapping at you.
I'm in a musical, sir.
He's going to whip out an old switchblade. Start jazz tapping. That's what skinny jeans do to you.
God damn it.
We love you, though.
I know we do.
I love you guys. This has been fantastic. Thanks. I'm having a ball.
I'm so glad that you are.
Yeah.
This is I've been on a lot of podcasts, all different styles, and I always have the most fun with this because it's just like you're hanging out, but you just record it and then you edit out the things you can't release.
I love that you're in my house. I love that.
We love that even more. We've been looking around for stray panties to steal, and we can't find any.
They're all in the corner. I have to pick up laundry, so I don't have a laundry bag right now, so they're all loose. Black satin up top. There's a gray thong underneath. There's some, super wet granny panties from, a sweaty day. And they're, I got a lot of options here if you guys are looking
those
for
Mementos. Those would be the highest sold item in the Japanese fucking vending machine, though.
No, I've got a lot
The granny panties that are soaked... I have just a lot of girlfriends
who sell panties, and I want them to identify as sex workers because of politics, but whatever.
How do I get into that? Because literally...
Craigslist.
Really?
Google, because how do I sell my panties? I'm looking to work from home.
Yes.
And selling your panties is 1,000%
an option. What am I good at? Dirtying up underwear.
Yes. The fact that you're a mom helps. It puts you in this different category.
No, I'm a MILF.
Spill ketchup on your underwear. They're going to love it.
Oh, boy.
You have to ask me.
Right.
You don't know how I live my life.
The way that I would think before I did sex work would be oh no, I spilled ketchup on these underwear. I have to throw them away and start over. And now that I've done sex work,
willing to pay so much more for that.
I should also add mustard.
Yeah. Relish if you're nasty.
Yeah. I don't know. Green makes dudes uncomfortable.
Okay. So it's a color spectrum thing.
Yeah,
a frequency.
Right, yeah.
Gotcha.
Frequency.
Red. We need to stay.
Red and yellow vaginal secretions. Green, gangrenous vagina.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure there's some old wives' tale rhyme about that. Warning sailors or something.
Right, yeah, absolutely. If her vagina is green, try to resist fucking it. I know it's hard. I know it's so hard.
I know this doesn't rhyme and it will be hard to remember.
Your
and hopefully
so
won't
hard.
Be lost to the annals of history.
Not fucking that green vagina is almost as hard as your dick is right now.
This is why sailors have all the diseases. All their warning rhymes that don't have to do with sailing don't rhyme.
Don't fuck the green vagina.
They're like, damn it, I've got scurvy
and
syphilis again. But I knew that storm was coming.
It's really interesting to me. I studied the economic structure of brothels in Charleston between 1890 and 1920.
So post-Civil War.
Post-Civil War, and then during the American theater of World War I, which began in 1917. So it's during this transition phase. And the Navy is so interested in brothels because they've given up on the idea that their sailors are not going to see prostitutes. They know that inevitably in every single port throughout all the land.
But keep it clean. In a brothel, you have regulation.
Exactly. So the Navy has been interested in regulating but not eradicating prostitution for a long time now.
Yeah, and as it should. I mean, you want to talk about something that's as natural and...
How do you know it's the oldest profession? And I'm like, because we have monkeys that live in captivity because science. And... there were some scientists that had this colony of monkeys in captivity, and they introduced the concept of money to these monkeys because science and economics and grant money. And
I read this same
students.
Thing.
Right. So the first thing that happened when graduate students introduced the concept of money to this colony of monkeys is that a boy monkey gave a girl monkey a token or money piece or whatever, and then they had sex. That's
as well have been a lobster dinner. What's the fucking
it's
difference?
It's fucking, right, who cares? So
it's formalities.
It's not, sex work is occurring because women are biologically capable of having sex with mixed motives and men are not. And that is a genetic difference that has existed forever. And we've leveraged it to huge species success, right? Sex is a thing that we use under any kind of government structure, no matter what's happening. We're going to get our needs and the needs of our children met, and we are hormonally wired to care very, very deeply about the needs of our children. And if we want to use access to our precious pussy to get the needs of our children met, we're going to do that. Fine.
Yeah,
whatever.
As old as time.
It's a tale as old as time. So... I think that this is terrifying to men. Why do I think it's illegal? I'm very drunk.
That's not why, but it's still very important.
It's very important. I read a book called The Chalice and the Blade, which felt like a game changer for me. And if you haven't read it, I suggest
not,
that you do.
But yes.
It's called The Chalice and the Blade. I don't know who wrote it, but it was an archaeologist and social scientist of some kind in the, you know, who knows, 90s, early 2000s, who there'd recently been a discovery of some archaeological evidence. And since the 70s, there's been a lot of rediscovering of a lot of different kinds of evidence of these goddess figures. So the argument is basically this. The Dark Ages, as we know it, was not the first Dark Ages. There was an earlier Dark Ages that preceded the Greek and Roman empires and the great empires mm-hmm. of Egypt.
Just not as well recorded.
Not as well recorded because it's older.
Yeah, exactly.
It's before the Bronze Age.
Yeah, I'm familiar with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that all over the world, we're seeing these older, advanced civilizations that were goddess-worshipping cultures. And when you're a goddess-worshipping culture, you have a radically different set of values than war god-worshipping cultures, which is what we are a product of. So, like, their priorities as a society were things like nutrition and education for children and, like, resources for mothers and
it's like comparing the bonobo chimps to regular chimps,
right? And like making women come was a huge priority. Mm-hmm. So like stuff,
even the artwork and yes. artifacts that are found,
it's all vaginal based
yes
stuff.
Even I remember my aunt when I was 12 or 13 down here taking me to, I guess it was the Met, and we were looking at the ancient statues and the men's penises and how are they were depicted. And I'm like, it surprises me that they wouldn't make them look bigger. She said, why would they? Because the emphasis on a large penis is about pleasing a woman and having something to, like, it was something that wasn't important yeah. then. You know, if anything, a big dangling hog
no,
was...
The Greeks especially de-emphasized sexual pleasure as being a substitute for intellectual pleasure, which
yes.
was like the high... Yeah.
And not just that, but in the warring cultures, that was considered kind of something that made you vulnerable.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it makes perfect sense because, like, when the Bronze Age happens, we have a cultural species-wide shift from goddess-worshipping cultures
to
war god-worshipping yep. cultures, because we're suddenly capable of making weapons. That is a technological change that happens. But if you're thinking about the course of human history, it makes perfect sense that we started as goddess-worshipping because we make people with our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole system in our body that talks to the moon.
Yep.
And there's nothing not fucking magic about that.
Exactly.
And so, like,
and they even see the correlations with the female body and what it does between all the fruit,
yours.
All the fruit bearing, you know, plants that are starting to be farmed and the similarity in the
right,
process.
Yes,
and it's
yes.
like this kind of mother nature,
yes.
goddess,
and if you're
woman
an agricultural
worshiping.
Society, plants fucking like making it to fruition is a huge, like, part of, it's a big deal, right? And like caring and tendering, making sure that that happens. In most nomadic cultures, in most indigenous cultures, women are responsible for collecting the majority of calories
mm-hmm.
because, like, see, even though men are hunting. And then another interesting fact is that meat is actually more valuable to the body of a woman than it is to the body of a man, because we have a constant iron deficiency because of our overly dramatic periods, which are unique to our species.
I bruise like a peach.
And you're always cold.
If a chimpanzee or a bear or a fucking, like, squirrel menstruated the way that human females menstruate, they'd be dead, because they'd just be covered in, like, delicious smelling blood,
yeah.
it like moody well, and like
also
in pain.
Our upright stature, our
yes.
physiognomy has made the world of difference, not just in the menstruation process, but in sex itself.
Yes,
know?
Absolutely.
So it's opened up a whole can of worms that, for better and worse, has really changed us as a species.
But I do believe that the future...
Laz is like, I have nothing to add.
I'm learning.
I don't think that you should add anything. I think
Thank
you should keep your mouth shut.
Correct.
I think that if we're going to make it another 500 years.
We have a clothespin on his scrotum right now. You guys can't see that, but I want you to know it's there.
Yeah, but he's super erect, which is the same as consent. Oh, no, he loves it. If we're going to make it another 500 years as a species, we have to have a cultural shift from masculine values to feminine values.
Absolutely.
And I think that if we do that, human ingenuity and just stubborn willfulness to live and our ability to collaborate collectively will mean that we make it past whatever happens next. But only if we shift the focus from being who's bigger than who, who's badder than who.
It's the shift backwards from reaction to response again.
Yes. Of like, we can make this better for everyone if we just give a fuck about everyone's actual experience and not winning or dominance or dick swinging contest.
Yeah, like, you're not coming to the table already in this machismo.
If we spent
comparative.
If we spent, and this is the part where I can feel my father rolling his eyes at me, which is fine. But like,
that's how you know you're doing it right.
I don't know. Just keep that's going. True. He's a very smart man. I respect him and listen to him a lot. But also, I know that our experiences are real different. And he worked very hard to make sure that our experiences were real different. And this is the difference in ideology that's a product of. Because we're wired the same.
There's an important question I have regarding your father that I'll ask you after you tell
Fantastic.
Us.
So, fuck. No. I mean, okay. So, I think that if we spent the money that we spent on our nuclear program in the last 50 years on making sure that everyone had, enough clean water to drink and enough food to eat and, access to, basic infrastructure.
And a better education.
We wouldn't have terrorism.
Yeah.
But also, and this is the part where I'm like, maybe Dad's right. If everyone in the world had access to clean drinking water, good food, and real education, we would fill up our oceans with trash in a nanosecond. And that part of what's written into the way that our economy works is a deeply exploitable population. And that what we're living in right now is basically colonialism, but we're calling it capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Plus, we all, and when I say we, I'm talking about the three of us, have the experience only of being coastal people.
Yeah.
And I think when you venture out into the great midpoint between the two coasts, it's like, oh, wow, no, this is real America, and I'm living in this kind of,
their whole life isn't possible unless we're, murdering thousands of people a day.
Because it's a whole other experience.
And the thing is that I really do hope that we, even in the name of empathy for our soldiers and public policymakers, we are citizens of the hegemon. And it's the only reason that we're able to sit in this room with microphones and talk our thoughts into a recording device and put it on the internet is because we are citizens of Rome. And I think that the expenditure of human life is tragic, and also I'm a little bit afraid of what happens when that radical shift of values happens and what that transition period looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because
transitions never are easy.
Historically, what it's looked like is racial, religious, sexual minorities get burned alive. And mouthy intellectuals get stoned to death. That's what historically the transition has looked like. So I'm like, I hate that my iPhone was made by a literal child slave. There's no fucking if, ands, or buts about it. Slavery, child.
But how much
child.
Would it cost if it wasn't?
But isn't it cool that our marginalized populations have access to this technology that means that I have to read their thoughts on Twitter in a way that I would not have to otherwise.
Yeah.
It's not a thing.
Yeah, no, you aren't getting a lot of tweets out of Darfur,
And we should. And as soon as we start getting tweets out of Darfur,
and that's the thing,
that makes sense.
Most of the real kind of places that are the most at risk on the globe have such limited and controlled internet access where it's the last possible isolation, which, as always, isolation is the most primitive form of control.
Do you guys know about Niger?
Do you guys know about that?
Well, I know about Niger, but I don't know what's happening right now.
So, like, so I, for me to even say it in that tone of voice is super stupid because I've, like, never been there, but I, like, get drunk with this girl that goes there sometimes.
Okay, that totally counts. You're, like, an authority to
me. Yeah, I'm, like, authority on Niger, okay? So they have
You're my go-to source.
Leper colonies. Did you guys know that leper colonies were still a thing? They're yes. definitely still yes. a thing.
Did you guys know that armadillos carry it? Wow. Of all the things I've said on this podcast, me putting down...
I am
down,
shocked and offended.
Putting down that armadillos carry leprosy, that was the biggest most offensive. Silence.
Yeah. We're all real mad at you right now.
Yeah, no. I would have just hung myself.
We just lost our armadillo listenership. Thanks.
Yeah. Which, you know, unfortunately was like all 10 of them. It was an armadillo leper colony.
So there are these huge recruitment grounds for terrorists because they have nothing to lose in a society.
Except an arm or a leg.
They are at the social bottom in a society with no infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, so in a country that like, doesn't have healthcare or like an education system, the things that you think that you need to function, they are at the bottom of the social hierarchy of that clusterfuck.
Yep.
So yeah. That's why I think that like anarchists should go to Niger and then report back to me on what it's like without systems
or without arms.
Yeah.
Because that's where it all leads, you know. But no, it's crazy to think kind of where we sit, especially now with social media. It almost seemed easier being of an age where I kind of like knew life before and knew life after. We've kind of created this kind of false reality with social yes. media where people either alternately become more aware of those regions of the world and their plight, or you yes. use it to become more ignorant.
It is interesting to me that we no longer, and there really was a very brief period of time where we enjoyed like a national narrative. Like it wasn't like Maine was always able to communicate with California. Like national radio was.
And what would they have to talk about if they
right,
did?
Exactly. Right? Like what's a lobster and what's a suntan? Like it's all very confusing. So like, let's not pretend that it's been integral to a part of our national narrative that we had a shared media source of some kind, but there's been a partisanship and a like specialization and isolation that I think social media has enabled where you get to just be friends with people that agree with you on some pretty like micro ideas. And I think that one of the things that makes comedy unique as a subculture and one of the things that I value as a person is having a genuinely diverse group of friends.
Yes.
Both in a like identity politics way and also in a like beliefs about the world way.
Yeah. I'm of the same mindset yeah. because for me, when I see all these people posting
friends
where it's like,
racist, I'm
unfriending everyone who blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, not only as a comedian, I need to hear it. And as a person, I want to hear it because I want to be in touch with every little, I have people from like Kansas that I've never met in my life that I don't know why have friend requested sure. me. And I still don't even unfollow them because I'm like, I see these little snippets and slivers of their life. I'm like, this is awful.
Yes.
But I need to know that this is happening. You know, I want to just still, even if I hate it, I stay in touch with everything through my news feed because I just have to know what all the varying spectrums of all of this are.
As a former political strategist and as a comic and as the daughter of a very active liberal Democrat and a very active conservative Republican, I want to hear it all.
Which one's which? I'm guessing your mother is
my
the
My father is the
Democrat.
Fag Democrat and my father, but still racist. And then my father is the conservative Republican, remarkably less racist, even though from like a policy perspective, he definitely believes racist things. It's very confusing.
That sounds like it. Now, I was going to ask mm-hmm. you when you were talking about your father kind of having, you know, traditional views yes. in a sense. Does he know what you did?
He does now. He didn't at the writing of the show, which you should definitely come see.
Oh, no.
At
there's
New York
no question.
Fringe and United Solo. I'm talking to your listeners now. I know that you guys are buying tickets.
We will be there.
I'm going to hold you to gunpoint.
We will be there.
I have a revolver. I'm not afraid to use it.
So not totally liberal.
Yeah. No, I have a right to carry and conceal.
Nice.
In North Carolina. We do not have reciprocity with New York, but, you know.
Fantastic.
Sure.
Who needs it?
Yeah, right?
Formalities.
Yeah.
But so how did your father find out about that?
Well, I wrote a one-woman show about it, and the internet exists. So, and he's married to my mom, who uses the internet. And my mom told him, because she's always trying to prove that, like, you know.
Did your mom already know, or she found out same time?
She found out same time. It was the second time that she heard
about
it.
And she found out through the internet.
Through the internet, through me publicizing my
show. So it was like dating Kristen Stewart. It was like any important information, I just find out when it gets posted.
On the blogs about her. Well, my mother and I, during the time that I wrote and produced this show, which was like a four-month period, was during the seven-month period that my mother and I were not speaking because of an argument that we'd
gotten.
Isn't
that always when we write our one-woman shows about prostitution, though?
But the reason that we weren't talking is because we'd gotten into an argument about a futon that neither of us owned. And that's why we didn't talk for 7 months.
Been there, done that.
Right. I'm so glad you get it.
That's my line in the sand, too.
No means no, Mom.
Yes.
Yeah. No means fucking no.
So how did they take it? What was the phone call of, we just read this article?
I had a joint therapy session with my mother to deal with the futon issue.
Of course
I'm
you did, because you
parody of myself.
You started masturbating to a nice man. So
of course I did.
Of course
we
have
a joint therapy session. Yeah, with my mother to talk about the futon issue. Towards the end of the hour, my mother says, I can't believe you sold your body. And I say,
I can't believe you sold that futon.
She didn't. I said, I didn't. I still have it. And the therapist laughed real hard. And I considered that a win, because I'm more interested in the laughs
crowd work.
Of strangers.
That's some crowd work.
You never
therapy.
Sell, you rent.
And my mother's love.
So all in all, how did it end with your mom? What was her ultimate feeling on it?
Well, they only had one, so I didn't give them a whole lot of choices. It was like, basically, get on board with my choices, or like, you just have to die alone. Like, that's the, you know, I'm the future, whether you like it or not. I might have grandchildren, I might not, but...
Hope you like those cold, lonely Christmases.
Right, yeah. This bloodline ends here, right? You know, you hate each other's family. What are you fucking talking about? You want to hang out with my dumb
cousins? And you're an
cousins?
Only child?
I'm an only child.
Of course you are.
That's all the leverage.
So am I.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You can get on board with whatever nonsense I think is
this
important.
This is my show.
Yeah. Thank God it's not heroin. You're welcome. Right?
That's my trump card.
Yes.
Whatever I do.
Not
I'm
heroin.
Just like, hey, am I a heroin addict?
No. I'm not.
No, I'm not, Mom.
I'm a fucking superhero is what I am. So anyway, I did that, and then I went home to have the, like, one-on-one talk with my dad. So I show up.
I picture this like so many porn stars, like that Thanksgiving after they start.
Yeah, no, it's weird. It's not weird. But then you find out everyone in your family who watches porn, which is all of them.
Of course it is. So tell us how that happened.
So I show up. Well, I was like in therapy. I was like, does dad know? My mother was like, your father knows. Everyone knows. I live in the West Village. I'm fine.
It's a North Carolina scandal, Caitlin.
God damn it.
They put
in politics.
It in the paper. It's not in the paper.
It was in the local newspaper. I know that your press people are working hard to get it into more newspapers. We find that disgusting. So I show up to talk to my dad, and he opens the door, and he's very curt. And he says, I guess you want to talk. And I'm like, yes, I do. And he's shaking with like all the feels. And the army did not train him well for that at all. So, like, he's just schizophrenic with emotion. And he tells me this story. He says, well, your mother finally found scat in the attic, so she let me get that pellet gun I've been talking about. And I was like, all right, cool, guns.
Did you just say your mother finally found scat in the attic?
Yes, because my father has been telling her that the squirrels were going to invade the home at any moment, which is why he should be allowed.
Can I also just tell
to
you
sit
that
on the back porch
I
with a pellet gun?
Have a squirrel invasion in my house. I feel like, are we the same person? Like, What happened?
Well, we didn't have a squirrel invasion. We had a bat invasion.
Okay, that's better.
So my father...
That at least leads to superpowers.
But not before he got his pellet gun, you see. All right? So now he has this pellet gun. The squirrels did not invade. The entire reasoning for him getting a pellet gun is because the squirrels were about to invade. So he starts shaking and, like, crying. And he said... I wouldn't have gone after him like that, except they invaded my home. It was like, Dad, you're a Vietnam vet. This wasn't your first unjust war. Like, what are we talking about here? And would you get my
sure, yeah. sure.
So,
Laz, you're not talking. Just go get our date.
Yeah, just go get it. Yeah, just go get the date and open the door and say hi. I have a date coming. So then he says, oh, fuck. Anyway. So it turns out that it was, so now he's just going after the chipmunks because they burrow and they upset my mother's flower garden. So, like, that's the whole thing now. We do have to wrap this up. I have to get on the, I have to think. Push the middle button.
This is the perfect ending.
Ugh.
Ah! Well, now I'm just alone podcasting. We're getting Caitlin's date. This is very important. What better way to go out than on squirrels and chipmunks invading?
Hey, how are you? Good to see you. You met Laz. This is Sharon. We're wraps, right? Can we wrap?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay,
yep.
Good. I'll just pack it up. Perfect.
And we're out.
And that was a Loose News podcast, as Caitlin will now get some D. So we will see you next time. Thank you.